The title of this second half of the split sermon is WAMS, W-A-M-S, all caps, because it's an acronym. And WAMS stands for Whack-A-Mole Syndrome. If you're familiar with the arcade game Whack-A-Mole, you have a mallet, timer goes on, and a mole comes up, and you whack it. And then more moles come up, and you keep whacking as many moles as you can, and they keep coming up faster and faster. Well, if you think about it, that's a lot like our lives now. So many things are popping up in your life that you're whacking all these moles. And just like the whack-a-mole game, when time runs out in our lifetime, time runs out, except instead of being able to start another game or get your prize, you're at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. So we have to think about our life. We turn to 2 Peter 3:18, shows us the goal of our life, which is not whacking every mole that comes up, every obstacle that happens in our life. We turn to 2 Peter 3:18, and you're actually very familiar with this verse because it's read very many times. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Very simple, but not easy. So our life is a journey of spiritual growth through the obstacles that we face. So all the obstacles that come up in your life are things that you have to pass through to grow through, and hopefully spiritually grow through. But there's a caveat here, because all of these obstacles are not just time and chance. Satan is around. And there's two ways that Satan tries to work on us, two major ways. The first is to deceive us, and if that doesn't work, to distract us. I might add, someone in the congregation suggested that combination to me, and it made so much sense. It's really the important part of this split sermon. But first, to deceive us, and if that fails, to distract us. Because if we are distracted and we are whacking so many moles and we have whack-a-mole syndrome, then we're not moving towards the kingdom of God. The purpose of our life now is to grow so that we can be part of the kingdom of God. But so often, so many problems come up, so many things distract us that we take our eyes off that goal to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we each have to look at what we put first in our life. I mean, there are different types of moles that we have to whack. And how can we keep things in balance? And that's really the key, keeping things in balance. We each have our normal responsibilities. We have responsibilities towards our family. We have work. We have expenses. We have careers. We have jobs. We have all kinds of things that we have to do. We have to take care of the house. We have to take care of the car. We have things coming up. We have financial things coming up that we have to deal with. The roof is leaking or whatever. You know, it all happens. They're all obstacles. They all can be used for spiritual growth, or they can be used to distract us from spiritual growth. There's a key verse in Ecclesiastes 1, so please turn there. We're going to spend a lot of time in Ecclesiastes, so if you have a bookmark or a finger or a pen or something, keep Ecclesiastes open. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 8, The second part of the verse is the critical part for this particular split sermon. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. It's a key point, because once something distracts us, whether it's a TV show, whether it's our smartphone, all of a sudden we're caught up in it. And what looks like, oh, it's just going to take a minute or two to do this, suddenly becomes an hour. And we're distracted, and then we don't have time for other things that we should be doing. So, as we look at our own lives, how well are we controlling these distractions? Are the distractions controlling us, or are we controlling the distractions? If we're controlling the distractions, then we have the time and the energy to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If the distractions are controlling us, then we don't. And then we're in trouble. I know in my case, the problem I have is my smartphone. Stupid phone is smarter than me is the problem. Because I can start doing something. Well, I'll just check my email, or I'll just check my text, or the Bing, the text goes off and I start looking. And suddenly I'm distracted. And I have to be able to learn to control that. And we each have our own things that distract us. But in my case, it happens to be the smartphone. Well, let's take a look at some examples of what happens when you're distracted from the Bible. We'll take one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. Classic case of distraction. You could turn to Judges 14 if you want. We'll read one verse in there. Was Samson. Now, Samson was a judge. The way he became a judge is extremely interesting, because heavens opened up, archangel came down and spoke with his mom and said, the son you're going to have is going to be a judge of Israel. Well, and he was. Samson was born. And as a judge of Israel, to an extent, he was intended to be like Gideon, where Gideon organized Israel to an army, had to cut down, but then defeated those who were persecuting Israel, and then became a judge and made righteous decisions for all of Israel. That was the job of a judge. Gideon did it. There were some issues along the way, but basically he did what he was supposed to. Samson didn't. We read in Judges 14, verse 1. Now, Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Now, Samson's father warned him, this is not going to work out well. Samson was supposed to be a judge of Israel. He was supposed to be defeating the Philistine army. He was not supposed to be joining the Philistines and marrying a Philistine wife. So he was directly going against what he was supposed to do as a judge. He was totally distracted from his goal, just like we need to not be distracted from the goal that God has set for us. As I mentioned, he was warned by his father, but it didn't do any good. What happened when he became distracted? Well, ultimately, he was humiliated by the Philistines. He was blinded by them. He was put to the work of a donkey grinding grain. And ultimately, when his hair did grow back, he completed the mission of defeating the Philistines, but not the way that he was supposed to. He ended up defeating Philistine individual soldiers when the issue with Delilah came up, with some of the issues with Delilah, and he took out all of the leaders of the Philistines when he pushed the pillars over. But he didn't do it the way that he was supposed to, And he paid a very high price for not doing it God's way. Well, there's a lesson for us. If we fail, God will still get the job done that we were supposed to do, but it will not go well for us. Even if we fail, God's plan will never fail. We need to succeed. And Samson made his life miserable by his distractions. He was whacking moles he never should have even messed with. And we have to look at our own lives and make sure that we are not whacking moles that we should not mess with. We need to be growing spiritually and doing God's will in our lives and not following every distraction that takes place. Second example is from the New Testament. Actually, the verse was suggested by someone in a different church, and I thank them for it. We can turn to the book of Luke, Luke 10. But I want to set this up because when we go through what the Bible teaches us, we sometimes read it as a story as opposed to the lesson we're to learn if we're immersed in it. So I'm going to immerse you in what happened in Luke 10. Imagine after services, you go home, you walk in the door, whole family is there, and then suddenly there's a very bright light. And then heaven opens up, and the archangel Michael comes down and tells you that Jesus Christ is coming to your house tomorrow afternoon with some others, and you're to give him this. And he gives you something that is glowing. At which point, the archangel Michael ascends, and heaven closes up, and you as a family are now looking at each other. Okay, imagine that. You notice that the cat is under the couch and is not coming out. The dog is in the corner whimpering, and you hope he doesn't mess up the floor. You look at your kids, and you're going to tell them, children, you should clean up your rooms now, but you probably won't say it that way. You'll probably say it with a little more emphasis. And for the husbands in the room, my advice is just follow orders, because that's just the way it is. All right, so imagine that. Now, all of a sudden, there's panic. Well, how many people are coming? We don't know. When are they coming? Next afternoon? When in the afternoon? I don't know. We got to clean. We got to get all this organized. We got to have, what are we going to serve? What are we going to do? And then you think, well, it's sudden chaos for an entire day and you're exhausted by the next afternoon. Well, let's up the ante now a little bit, if that wasn't bad enough. But go back to the time of Jesus some 2,000 years ago. Now you don't even have a vacuum cleaner, you don't have a stove, you don't have a refrigerator, and you don't even have a microwave. And all of a sudden, Jesus is there. And you're in a total panic to get everything done because this is Jesus Christ. The next time you're going to see him is at Judgment Day. This is it. Now's your chance. Well, let's look in at Martha and Mary now in Luke 10:38. Now it happened as they went that he, Jesus, entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, it says here that it happened that he entered a certain village. It's not like it seems as definite, planned in advance. It was something more spontaneous. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, I want to add here that they also had a brother, Lazarus, who was also very friendly with Jesus, and that's mentioned in the book of John, but he is not mentioned in Luke, probably because he was following Martha's orders. But in any event, he was probably there also. So, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Okay, she's whacking moles. Because, and she's not wrong in doing this. If Jesus Christ was coming into your house, wouldn't you want everything to be perfect? You don't want to serve something burnt, and you don't want to see dust balls anywhere. You want everything to be absolutely perfect. Jesus is perfect. You don't want to insult him by not having anything less than that. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha," and you can feel compassion in the way this is done. "You are worried and troubled with many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Important aspect here. Martha wasn't doing anything wrong. She wanted to serve. She wanted to honor Jesus Christ. But Mary wanted to learn. Now, what did Jesus want? If Jesus were to come into your house tomorrow afternoon, what would Jesus want? Well, he would want you to be in the kingdom of God. He came down to earth as a human. He didn't have to. He suffered. He was persecuted. He was crucified. He did that all so that you could be in the kingdom of God with him. That's why he did it. That's what's important to Jesus. So the fact that some dinner might be burnt is irrelevant compared to why Jesus came into this earth and why he went through what he went through. Mary understood it. Martha didn't, even though all of her intentions were good. Now, look at your life. That's why Jesus did what he did. What are you doing? There's a lot of takeaways from this. Martha had great intentions and was doing her best to treat Jesus with honor. That's all good. It's all good things. Jesus was interested in guiding both Martha, Mary, and also Lazarus, their brother, on their path to the kingdom of God. Nothing was more important than that. Distractions were insignificant compared to that. Martha was whacking too many moles, even if she had the best of intentions. Mary was not. And those moles distracted her from her path to the kingdom of God. Now, look at your life. What distractions do you have in your life? They might be noble distractions, as Martha's distractions were very noble. But they are still distractions. Jesus came to this earth so that you could be in the kingdom of God. And we must never forget that. That is the most important thing. That is the direction we go. We don't just whack moles that come up in our life. We discern which moles are taking our attention away from our true goals, and we don't whack those, unlike the game where we whack them all. Those we don't whack. We only whack the ones that are leading us towards the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus came here. That's our objective. And as Peter said so succinctly in 2 Peter 3, I already read it, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when we go through all of the trials and troubles and the obstacles that come up and the moles that come up that we keep whacking, keep that in mind. We have to, through this all, we have to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we're not, then we're not going to be in the kingdom of God. And if we spend too much time on distractions, then Satan wins, because he has distracted us enough that we have lost direction from our goals. Now, when it comes to distractions, We have a winner in the Bible. Solomon is the winner. No one was more distracted in life and had least reason to than he was. In fact, he may have distracted himself out of the kingdom of God, although it appears that he repented by the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. But what we can learn from King Solomon is that the key to staying on track to the kingdom of God is balance. We need to control the distraction. We cannot let the distraction control us. Now, individual distractions that come up may not be bad. So you got a flat tire, the car's getting old, things happen, things break. They're not bad in itself, but we can't let them control us, take our mind away from our goal and Jesus' goal. We have the same goal as Jesus, to be in the kingdom of God, and that's our primary purpose. If we're whacking walls, moles that don't need to be whacked, then they're keeping us from that, from our journey to the kingdom of God. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This is actually an interesting series of verses. We're reading 1 through 8. But what makes it interesting is it was actually a rock and roll song in the late 60s by the Byrds. Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And that shows us we have to control that time. When you think for a minute, time is very precious because it is the one commodity that once it's spent, you can't get it back. If you've made a mistake, if you said something at the wrong time, you can't take it back and start over. And time has an end in each of our physical lives. Time is very critical. It is a precious resource. It's worth more than money because you can get money from some other place. You can get an extra job and make more money. But you cannot get time back. Once you're distracted, the time that you lost is lost for good. Verse 2, time to be born and a time to die. We have an end. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. Time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. There's actually a lot in that. A time to cast away stones means a time when you look at some of those obstacles in your life, some of the mistakes that you made, and you have to let them go. That's how you cast away those stones. You can't keep harboring on it. When someone is filled with hate and wants revenge, they are destroying themselves. Because the person they want revenge on doesn't care. But you are the one who carries the burden. And those are the stones that need to be cast away. And a time to gather stones. Those stones that you gather are the people who are working with you and helping you and encouraging you. Because in all the problems that we face in our lives today, those are the stones that we gather because they strengthen us. The more people we have strengthening us, the stronger that we are. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. Another point on possessions. We hang on to possessions too long. And the emotions that come from those possessions, we hang on too long and it's time to throw them away. certain things we have to keep, other things we have to throw away, and we have to move on. Time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. Boy, there are many times we wished we didn't open our big mouth and said something that we regret. But we can't take it back. But there are other times when we should have spoken and perhaps we didn't. And this takes a lot of wisdom to know when to shut up and when to speak. And when you can do some good by speaking or when you can do some good by shutting up. Time to love and a time to hate. Time of war and a time of peace. Think of a time of war and a time of peace also within our spirits. There are times when we just get so angry. And maybe there's a good reason to get angry. And there's another times when we need peace within our own spirit. And that peace is very precious. And that peace also helps us to draw closer to God, because now we are at peace. So let's look at some examples in Ecclesiastes 2 of what Solomon said. We can see where he failed and where we have to succeed. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1. We're going to go through verse 10. But Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. Mirth is gladness, gaiety, party time, entertainment. None of these are bad when we're controlling them. Laughing is good. There are times when discouraged and you need to laugh. Sometimes when I'm feeling discouraged, I might turn on an old TV show like Get Smart or Gilligan's Island or something like that, which just makes you laugh. It's a silly show and it just takes your mind off things. You can go to movies that build you up. Those are all good things. There's nothing wrong with the concept of entertainment, gladness, gaiety, and laughing. But if it becomes your goal in life and you're not walking towards the kingdom of God, and this is what happened with Solomon, it became so important that he disregarded what God had intended for him. Now, we have plenty of choice when it comes to entertainment. I mean, we have TV, we have radio, we have streaming, we have DVDs I think they're phasing them out, but they're still available. There's plenty of things you could do, YouTube. But the point is, we have to keep it in control because our primary goal is marching towards the kingdom of God. Verse 3 of Ecclesiastes 2. I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine. Now, there's nothing wrong with at dinner for having a glass of wine. It can be very relaxing. Nothing wrong with it at all. If you prefer a beer, there's nothing wrong with having a beer. If you're watching a football game or something, and you want a beer, there's nothing wrong with that. But if it's controlling you and you're not controlling it, then there's something wrong with it. Alcohol and drugs are a form of escapism. We don't want to escape this life. We want to grow in our life. Alcoholism and drug dependency is a serious issue that has to be dealt with because it will keep us from the kingdom of God. Let's go to verse 4. I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. Now, those of us who are fortunate enough to own houses, we may have a garden. We have a front lawn. There's nothing wrong with taking care of that. That's a good thing. After all, God tells us in Genesis to fill the earth and subdue it. That has to do with our possessions, that we want our front yard and our house to look very respectable to show that it's taken care of, that we're, that we know how to take care of our possessions. That's all good. But again, it's balance. Are we so overdoing it? Are we so dedicated? Are we spending so much of our resources that we're neglecting things that are more important, which is spiritual growth? So we have a balance here. Again, you have to control it. It can't control you. It was controlling Solomon, and that was his problem. Here's one we see in verse 8. We see one that's very common within the world today. I also gathered for myself silver and gold. We all are or have worked for what we have. We earn a living. And that's a proper thing. Taking care of your family is required by the Bible. Neglecting your family is a sin. But getting rich for the purpose of getting rich or having more power and undermining other people to get rich, that's a serious problem. Now, the money is controlling you, and you're not controlling the money. This can also run afoul of the 10th commandment on coveting, because you want things that other people have, so you're trying to figure out how you can make as much money, and that becomes the purpose of your life, and then you're in trouble. Because the purpose of your life is to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that you're a part of the kingdom, right? Because that's why he came here, so that would happen. Continue on in verse 8, I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kind. Well, musical instruments are wonderful. We all enjoy the special music, and I want to thank all those people here who contribute to the special music and contribute to the choir, and especially John Barbush, who is in charge of our musical work and does a phenomenal job. That's all very good. Going to concerts are fine, at least some concerts, but going to concerts are fine. Again, though, it's balance. What is God's goal for us in our lives? What does God want you to grow on that you're going to contribute in the kingdom of God? It might be music, and so you're going to put extra emphasis on music, because there will be music in the kingdom of God. In my case, I'm a musical dud. I can't even play the kazoo well. But it's balance. Well, as long as you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you're okay. But don't kid yourself if you're not and something else comes in the way. And verse 10, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. Well, here we have coveting, which is the 10th commandment. Mr. Bradford wrote about that in his email. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them means it's probably not seeking the kingdom of God. It's other things in this world. And everything in this world will be gone, and we'll be gone with it if that's our primary goal, instead of growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with daydreaming and wanting to make yourself better, but we have to be careful here that we are not coveting. None of these individual things are necessarily bad unless they distract us from our purpose in life. What's especially important is if they are distracting us, then Satan has a hold on a weak spot in our lives. We all have weak spots. And you can be sure Satan knows what it is, and he's going to hammer you on it. And that's how you have to control this, so you're not whacking those distractions that Satan puts in your way, but you're letting them go, and you're moving towards the kingdom of God. God will lead us in the way he wants us to grow. If he wants us to do something in life and we let him down like Samson did, he's still going to get it done one way or another. But it's going to be at our expense. And we always have to remember that whatever weak spot we have, Satan will try and distract us to stop that growth. So the point in all this is that we have to examine our lives, our families, everything that each one of us are doing. What are the obstacles and moles that pop up? What are our weak spots? And how do we each deal with each of those weak spots? Are you whacking so many moles that it's affecting your spiritual growth? If not, you have to let some of them go. We live in very difficult times because we have so many distractions that didn't exist even a generation ago. Now, a generation ago, there was no smartphone. The iPhone was the first really useful smartphone. And that was, what, 2007 or something like that? I don't remember exactly. A generation ago, there was no texting. Amazon was selling books, and that was it. And the internet was only in its infancy. There was no streaming anything. And if I mention the term Betamax, those who are younger in this congregation don't know what I'm talking about. And VCR, maybe even that you don't know what I'm talking about. Email was the big thing 30 years ago. So now we need so much more self-discipline than our parents had. We each have to deal with a myriad of problems that can distract us and that didn't even exist a generation ago. And that's why we need to whack only the moles that we have to and to let the others go. We also need to be honest with ourselves and make sure we are like Mary, focused on the kingdom of God, not dissipating our lives, not whacking so many moles that we have lost control of the direction that Jesus wants us to go and wants us to be there with him. We need to be learning and growing through all that we face in our lives so that we are ready to be worthy servants in the kingdom of God.